Morning. Would you stand with me and let's pray and then we'll begin our singing together. Lord God, we love you and we praise you today. Let our voices ring true to your glory as we sing the gospel today in grace and truth, just like Jesus. We want to praise you, Lord, and worship you in your holiness and your purity. Your salvation that you've given to us, mercy and grace. Thank you for your love that has shined on us. And today we want to shine for you and represent you in this world. Help us today to hear the word, proclaim, strengthen Joel as he guides us, strengthen our church family, all the Bible study groups, Sunday school classes that meet in just a while, that you'll bless each one of those teachers and students, Lord, that we'll all grow in our faith. Help us, Lord, as we follow you and celebrate. We pray for our youth, Warren, and all those that are camping, that you'll help them have a great finishing time for their camp. In Jesus' name, amen.
It all comes down to this, what you require of me. Love my neighbor as myself, and you above all things. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with you, God. In all things, in all ways, walk humbly with you, God. It all comes down to this, to be your hands and feet. Good news to all the world, the truth will set us free. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with you, God. In all things, in all ways, walk humbly with you, God. It's beauty for ashes, it's mourning to dancing. It's closer and closer, the kingdom of heaven. It's beauty for ashes, it's mourning to dancing. It's closer and closer, the kingdom of heaven. Years from now we'll see the fruit our hands have sown. Faith just like a seed, the only way it grows. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with you, God. In all things, in all ways, walk humbly with you, God.
Amen. Let's worship the Lord together as we sing. We're made for a reason and for a purpose. Glorify the Lord today.
I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. 'Cause I wasn't made to be tend in a grave, I was called by name. Oh,
born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more.
I know who I am. Cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future.
Praise team. Welcome this morning. Glad you're here. Those of you that are our guests today, we are glad the Lord has led you to worship with us today. Take a few moments, walk around, welcome your friends. So glad you're here today.
Hey.
Amen. We have a lot to be thankful for. You may be seated as we worship and sing. Sing with me.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. But every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. But I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
I've got one response. I've got just one. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you.
So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. But I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of love's heart. Get up and praise the Lord. Sing it with us.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of love's heart. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
So I
throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah.
And I
know it's not much,
but I'm
nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Ushers, if you'll come. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to worship you today. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to point our hearts and our minds, our body, our soul, everything we are, everything we have to Jesus and Jesus alone. That is the gospel. That is the good news today. We sing it, we preach it, we proclaim it, we hear it. But Father, sometimes our minds, everything just seems to be on so many other things. So Father, take these sinful hearts and minds and help us to focus on you today. Help us to praise you today, to lift up our heart of praise to you, Father. In all things, Father, today, as we give, as we celebrate, as we study your word, as we fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, draw us closer to you, Father. In the world that we live in, we desperately need Jesus every minute, every day. So help us to see that today, Father. Help us to focus on you today. In all things, we give you praise and honor and glory. We give because of the greatest gift that's ever been given to us, and that is the gospel, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
If you curse me, then I will bless you. If you hurt me, I will forgive. And if you hate me, then I will love you. I choose the Jesus way. If you're helpless, I will defend you. And if you're burdened, I'll share the weight. And if you're hopeless, then let me show
treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose.
Would you be seated? My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Lord, our faith is in you. We find our rest in you. Our trust and our hope, our life is in you and nowhere else. Lord, we want to live and work and behave and act and sing and love in the Jesus way. We choose surrender to you. And in so, we don't give up our freedom, but we gain freedom like nothing else. And that freedom is in Jesus. Thank you for your love for us and for your sacrifice so that we could have that freedom. Thank you for our pastor, Joel, and we ask you to fill him now as he comes to preach the good news and proclaim the gospel to us. And I pray that it will find good soil in our hearts and in our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ken. You will hear that again. My faith has found a resting place. You will hear that again. Thank you, Ken, for singing that. I didn't know you were going to do that. So thanks. Thank you, praise team, for leading us as we worship. All right, Philippians chapter 3. We have worked our way to Philippians chapter 3. Now, what we're going to do is we'll do Philippians 3, 1 through 6 today. It's Wednesday night, for those of you that come on Wednesday night, 7 through 11, and then we'll stop. And we'll take a break until January the 5th. And we'll jump back in on January 5th. We'll start the new year off with one of my all-time favorite passages. I have probably preached more from Philippians 3, 12 through 14 than any other passage of Scripture. Man, I have hit that 100 million times. So I can't wait to start off the new year of 2025 with one of my all-time favorites. But we got to get there first, so we're going to look at the beginning of Philippians chapter 3 today, verses 1 through 6. Philippians 3, 1 through 6. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never grow tired of telling you these things. What he's saying, I never grow tired of the gospel, ever. I never grow tired of preaching, proclaiming, talking about the good news. And I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say that you must be circumcised in order to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who truly are circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. Let me give you a list. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel. I was a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew. If there ever was one, it was me. I was a member of the Pharisees then, demanding the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was zealous. So zealous that I harshly persecuted anybody who dared to come against it, the church. As for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. In 1543, a man named Copernicus turned upside down the biblical view of the world by proving that the sun, not the earth, was the center of the universe. He argued that the earth and the other planets simply revolved around the sun in carefully designed orbits. So in relation to them, the sun is always the one that is standing still. Now, you in the 21st century say, what? Of course. What's the big deal with that? Well, Tycho Brahe and other followers, they were banished. They were imprisoned. They were literally burned at the stake. They were killed. Their writings were destroyed because that went against the teachings of the church. The leaders of the church, the preachers and the leaders in the church argued that the Bible, they taught, wrongfully they taught, by the way, but they taught that the Bible said that the earth was the center of the universe. And when Copernicus came up with the right idea, the real truth, they killed him for it. They literally burned him at the stake because our tradition, what they thought was biblical truth but wasn't biblical truth, our tradition, we love our tradition so much so that we'll kill for it. There was a man named Adolf Hitler. By the way, you might have heard about this guy named Adolf Hitler. So all the conservatives think all the liberals are Adolf Hitler, and all the liberals think that the conservatives are Adolf Hitler. All right, so everybody's Adolf Hitler. Everybody loves Adolf Hitler. But one of the great things that happened when Adolf Hitler was in power was this one reporter was in a safe space, because you couldn't ask Adolf Hitler these questions if you weren't in a safe space. So this one reporter was in a safe space, and this reporter asked Adolf Hitler, by what authority do you do what you're doing? Adolf Hitler reached in his coat pocket inside, and he pulled out a Bible, and he said, by the authority of the Word of God, he killed 6 million Jews and others. By the authority of the Word of God. Well, you and I both know that the Word of God does not give us authority in any way, shape, form, or fashion to kill people because they're Jew or the color of their skin or anything. We know that. It doesn't take a biblical scholar to read through the gospel accounts of Jesus to know that that's certainly not true. Paul himself, literally before he was Paul, the Apostle Paul, he was Saul. He was a blameless and righteous Jew. He was a man willing to beat, even kill, people who called themselves Christ followers. And he did it how? In the name of religion. More people have been killed in the name of religion than anything else on earth. More wars have started over, no, we're the ones that are right and you're wrong and we will kill you because you don't agree with us. So from this simple truth, we don't have any of that here at First Baptist Church, but we do need to gain a simple truth. And that is, every single one of us, we desperately need to search our own hearts to ask ourselves, am I indeed serving a set of rules and regulations, traditions of man? Or am I worshiping, living, and serving Jesus Christ? Those are two totally different things, y'all. Two totally different things. Some believers really think that they're following Jesus, when in all actuality, they're just good rule followers. Whatever their tradition may be, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of Christ, Assemblies of God, Baptist, whatever, Church of God, whatever their tradition is, they're just simply good at following that tradition. They're good at living out their religious traditions, whatever those may be. So Paul begins chapter 3 and he says, whatever happens, or most of your translations say, finally. Now that doesn't mean that Paul is bringing this to a close. Paul is simply saying, here are some final matters that I want to discuss. For example, the threat, powerful threat of legalism. Now if church history teaches us anything, Oh my gosh, it teaches us a lot. But if it teaches us anything, it teaches us that the threat of legalism, the threat of traditions becoming more important than Jesus, is a cancer in the church. It's been a cancer in the church from the very beginning, and it has never stopped. It is still just as prominent in today's church as it was 2,000 years ago. And that church blows my mind. It blows my mind. See, most of you people in here are smart, and that's your problem. You're smart. You don't have a simple brain like me. Now, there's a handful of y'all that got simple brains like me. There's not a lot of us, but some of y'all are just so smart. You try to figure everything out too detailed. This is so simple. The Apostle Paul wrote 13 letters in the New Testament. In almost every single one of those letters, Paul deals with this thing called legalism, the Judaizers, heaping guilt. Jesus said it this way about the Judaizers: you heap burdens on your people. Those burdens are so strong, you don't lift not one finger to help them with grace. You give them rules and regulations and traditions to follow. You put the hoops up and they can't jump through it, and you guilt them because that's what you want them to be. So the Apostle Paul, in almost all of these 13 letters, dealt with this issue of legalism. You follow the rules, the traditions, more than you follow Jesus. In Galatians, in Corinthians, in Philippians, almost every single letter, he deals with it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. In the gospel accounts, Jesus deals with it over and over and over again. So the two most prominent figures that we would believe in the New Testament, Jesus, our Savior and Lord, and the Apostle Paul, the two most prominent figures, if you gave them a subject matter, all the subject matter, at the very top of the list for Jesus and Paul, at the very top of that list would be legalism. The threat, the cancer that is called legalism. So how in the world, 2,000 years later, is it still so prominent and prevalent in the body of Christ? How could that possibly be? I can't understand that. Simple brain. When I was in seminary and I really started studying Scripture, it was this simple for me. There's one group of people that Jesus, my Savior and Lord, condemns. One group. One. One group of people that He condemns. Did you hear what I just said? One. The prostitutes and the tax collectors, the people that they considered to be the worst sinners of the day, Jesus loved and He embraced and He pulled them in and He gave them grace. And for the first time in their life, they didn't have laws and rules heaped upon their shoulders so heavy, and they were burdened down and crushed down. For the first time, somebody said, "I love you," and they melted in His arms. But the religious leaders, the preachers, those leaders of the church, dominated so badly, and they were the only group that Jesus condemned. Think about that now. One group. One. So simple brain here simply said, in my studying of Scripture, really digging into Scripture for the first time in my life, it was this simple for me. If there's only one group of people that Jesus condemned, then I want to make sure that for the rest of my life that I don't become the very thing that Jesus condemned. Isn't that simple? So for the rest of my life, I have desperately tried everything to keep my eyes focused on Jesus and Jesus alone, and not on a bunch of rules and regulations and traditions to follow. I hope you hear that. I watched a movie one time where this guy wanted so badly for his friend to see the truth that he strapped him down and he strapped his head to where he couldn't move his head, and he presented his friend with this truth. And even when his friend tried to shut his eyes, he pried his eyes open, and the movie was so funny because he made his friend see the truth. That's what I try to do every single Sunday. I am trying so desperately to get your head and your eyes to see Jesus and Jesus alone, period. And I want that so bad, and yet my words are always so inadequate. Warren Wiersbe said it this way: the first legalists in church history were the Judaizers described in the New Testament. These false teachers asserted that Gentile converts must believe in Jesus and do works of the law, such as circumcision, to be declared righteous before the Lord. Even the Philippian church needed to be warned about the Judaizers, and I would then add to that, and so does the 21st century church. Last night, Janice and I, we drove to Birmingham to meet Carson's girlfriend's mama and daddy. Oh, we're meeting the parents now, y'all. All right, so we go meet the parents. It was really nice. It was wonderful. It was great. Janice isn't here today, so I can tell this story. Mary Glenn's father, Glenn, he asked the question, "So, what are you preaching on tomorrow?" And I said, "Oh, Glenn, this is awesome. Tomorrow, I get to biblically call the preachers dogs. Isn't that great? Y'all, I get to call the preachers dogs, and I can do it saying, that's not my words, y'all. This is Paul. Paul called them dogs. Now, you have to understand that in the first century, by the way, that got me really excited. I had promised Carson that I was going to be on my best behavior, and I was for the most part until I got to this particular point, and then I lost my brain, and I had to reel it back in. All right, in the first century, dogs were not house pets, okay? So when Paul called these religious leaders, when he called them dogs, in the first century, you didn't drive out into the countryside and buy a German short hair for $2,000 and that became your pet. No, dogs were not pets by any stretch of the imagination. They were wild, unclean scavengers. So when Paul called these preachers, these religious leaders, dogs, he was saying these are wild, unclean scavengers, and he was begging the church, whatever you do, do not listen to them. Jesus himself quoted John the Baptist, who called them brood of vipers. So Jesus and Paul would say, snakes in the grass, dogs, whatever you do, do not listen to them. They heap upon their people so many rules, regulations, and traditions to follow that you just simply can't do it. While Jesus is over here offering love and life, following Jesus is not, I repeat, it is not a set of rules and regulations to follow. It's not a rules and regulations or traditions that keep you from doing something. It is the freedom to live for Jesus. And I don't know that the body of Christ really gets that and understands that. Let me say that again. That's so inadequate. My words are not right there. But that's the best I got. Following Jesus is not a set of rules and regulations to follow, but it is instead, it is the freedom to live for Jesus. I think I'm saying it right. I hope I'm saying it right, but I really would like to say it better. But I'm hoping you get it. Following Jesus is not a set of rules and regulations to follow, but instead, it is the freedom to follow Christ and Christ alone. And I don't know that a lot of people, a lot of believers really get that. One idea is to just simply figure out the rules according to whatever your tradition is, Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, Assembly of God, whatever those that tradition is. Simply follow, find the rules to follow, and then follow those rules. You just follow those rules the best way you possibly can. When you do that, then those rules, traditions, become your God, little g. The other idea is living, loving, and worshiping Jesus and keeping your eyes and your heart and your vision of life focused on Jesus and Jesus alone. And when you do that, when loving and living and worshiping Jesus becomes primary in your life, then God becomes your God. Big G, capital G, becomes your God. So what's the answer? Well, we need to realize that serving a bunch of rules and regulations is just that. That's all it is. And Jesus said, of those who do that, you will get your reward. You want the reward of the applause of other people. Well, you get it. Good for you. You get exactly what you want. Great. Good deal. Thumbs up. But it is a waste of time and energy and effort. Literally. It is a waste of your time, your energy, and your effort. There's an old saying in our culture that says, he put the cart before the horse. Now that's an old saying. It goes way back, but it's pretty simple understanding. If the cart is in front of the horse, then the cart that's filled with the goods that you want to get to a certain destination doesn't make it there. The cart is in front of the horse, so the horse doesn't pull the cart, it just sits there. It doesn't get where it's supposed to go. In order for the cart full of whatever it is that you've got it full of, going to a certain destination, in order for it to go where it needs to go, you've got to put the horse in front of the cart so that the horse can then take the cart where it needs to go. And so many people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, they have the cart in front of the horse. It's going nowhere. Looks good, but it goes nowhere. Once again, Wiersbe says, the substitute for living by the rules is the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Having a personal relationship with Jesus does for us what a lifetime of trying to live according to the rules could never do. Now, please don't take this to the extreme. Don't misunderstand me. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I didn't come to abolish it. I came to show you what it actually looks like to live according to the law. So I didn't come to say, forget the law, forget the rules. No, Jesus didn't come to do that, to abolish it. Jesus came to make it bigger, better, stronger, faster in every way possible, to show us what the law really is like, to love the law, to love what God has given to us. So we're not saying that we do away with all of that. We have traditions right here at First Baptist Church that we love and we want to continue to do. So we're not saying that you do away with all of that. It's simply saying that when those rules become primary for you, then that becomes your God and Jesus is no longer in his rightful place. Paul gave up all of that for Jesus and Jesus alone. Ken sang that hymn, and it says it best. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one whose wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Find your resting place, your faith, who you are, what you believe, how you live. Find that resting place, not in a bunch of rules and regulations or traditions of man, but find it in Christ and Christ alone. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, okay? Father, thank you so much for Paul's great word. Put no confidence in our effort for salvation. It just can't be done. No confidence in the flesh. It is so easy to allow those, whatever those rules may be, to become so important to us that they become more important to us than the Word and Jesus, who is the Word. So thank you, Father, for focusing our eyes of faith on Jesus and Jesus alone. Thank you for that. The gospel, the good news, is Jesus. And if there's anybody that's here today, Father, that doesn't know Christ as Savior and Lord, then today is the day of salvation. For those of us who know Christ as Savior and Lord, Father, then oftentimes we feel like this thing called church is just hoops to jump through. So let us just lay down the hoops and see Jesus, Christ and Christ alone. Thank you, Father, for a good word that you provide for us today. In all things, we give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Lord, I need you as our invitation. If you've never trusted Jesus, then we encourage you to do that. If you need to join our church, come and pray. Whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand, as we sing.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you.
Sunday school. All right, what do we got first? All right, tonight is going to be a wonderful, fun, great celebration, not just in the life of Warren and Heather, but for our entire church, because tonight this is an ordination service for Warren Jones, but it also is an affirmation. It is an affirmation from our church to Warren and Heather and the calling that God has given to them, but it's just a great affirmation in the body of Christ. And so it's just going to be a lot of fun to celebrate with Warren and Heather. We'll have laying on of hands as an ordination service. We'll do that part as well. And the youth are going to participate in it as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Be here tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll celebrate with Warren and Heather and ordaining Warren. All right? Micah, this is coming up December the 19th. If you want more information about going with Micah to the processing center in Atlanta for Operation Christmas Child, contact Micah. See Micah. You got plenty of time. It's not for about a month or so away. So they've been sending several, and they're getting more and more that want to go. So see Micah about that information. Operation Christmas Child, speaking of, boxes are due this Wednesday, November 20. This Wednesday, turn your boxes in or by Wednesday, all right? The ladies' Christmas Bazaar, November the 23rd, that's Saturday, 5 to 8, Morgan Jackson's home. So if you want more information about that, see Hannah Mears, see Amanda Rowe, Sally Campbell, any of those will give you that information, all right? There is the outflow schedule for the youth, so youth especially, mark that down for coming up in December, all right? And then the Christmas brunch for our senior adults, December the 7th. Sign up on the old Lord's Supper table, y'all. You want to be a part of that. All right, what else we got, Ken?
Any of the youth praise team that wants to join in the singing tonight, be here at 5 o'clock. We've got three songs we're going to do. Brother Garrett Booth, one of our former members and music interns, your son, will be here tonight and helping us in the celebration for Warren. And so he's going to lead one of the songs, and then the youth praise team, the adult praise team, will be leading the other two songs and helping Garrett along the way, too. So it's going to be a good night. Be here at 5 o'clock to get ready for that.
Community Thanksgiving service is not this tonight, but next Sunday night, November the 24th at 6 p.m. at Creek Path Baptist Church. And so if you want to go and be a part of the community-wide Thanksgiving service, that's always a good night. All right, let's close by standing and singing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.